The Mystic's Almanac, Navigating Life with Science and Soul, with Judith Boyce. Rocking Chairs. At one time I had four rocking chairs in the living room. One was finished with wicker, gleaned from a neighbor's yard sale. The second was solid wood with a wide seat, perfect for nursing my infant boys. The third was an antique rocker inlaid with mother-of-pearl, an inheritance from my father's ancestors. The fourth was hand-carved on my great-great-grandfather's Ohio farm. When I was 8 years old, my mother scolded my father for sitting on the fancy inlaid rocker. The delicate chair, according to my mother, was not meant for a big man. "Oh, Martha," said my father, clearly irritated. He persisted, then jumped up, shamefaced, when the wooden seat cracked. Like much of my father's family, this rocker was more for show than practical use. He was as out of place in that bevy of social climbers as he was sitting on the chair. The rocker from my mother's family arrived when I was about 10 years old. The frame was bare and carefully neglected, just like the memory of my great-great-grandfather who had rocked in it. My mother hired a craftsperson who still knew the art of caning to repair the seat. When I sat on that rocking chair, I could feel the solidity of Ohio farms beneath me. I sensed a life dedicated to soil and air, rain and sunlight. That chair was sturdy and useful, with a frame that was meant to last. I wanted that chair in my own home because I had good memories of rocking near the fireplace in the evenings, reading or stroking our pet rabbit. Later, when I learned more about its history, I appreciated the chair even more. My great-great-grandfather, who had rocked in that chair, enjoying summer evenings on his porch as he watched the fiery Midwestern sun set over rows of corn, was a philanderer, barely claimed by his own sons. "You Owen Harbage's son?" the neighbors would ask. "So they say," the boy would reply. "So they say." A photograph of my great-great-grandmother hangs in the front hallway of my parents' house. Her thin, almond-shaped face is sad, almost desolate. The family lore is that the picture was taken the same day my mother learned about her husband's affairs. The way my mother told me these apocryphal stories, I always assumed the son was ashamed of his father. Faint whispers of memory, though, help me understand that my grandmother may have carved a life of her own out of her desolation. Small shreds of evidence point to the possibility that she may have had her own affair, a long-term liaison with a man who fathered some of her children. Perhaps when asked if he was Owen's son, the boy simply spoke the truth. So they say. I wonder how my grandmother may have struggled, a Christian woman caught between religious morals and a natural obedience to earthly longing. How could she reconcile human law with the natural laws that shaped her relationship to the land, and possibly her lover? Now when I sit in the rocker, I appreciate the dark wood, the sturdy fit of the seams, and the smooth arms oiled with sweat and time. The rocker is tough. The frame outlasted the cheating husband and found a new use. I am a hybrid of these chairs, these physical representations of my genetic lineages. I love beauty, so elegantly embodied in the delicate chair passed down from my father's ancestors. I'm also devoted to practicality, so apparent in the enduring work of my farming ancestors. This sturdy farm chair has a beauty of its own, gleaned from hard-won peace, endurance, and simplicity. These chairs were part of the physical shaping of my family lineage. I sense the lean of my ancestors' bodies, the sigh of their frames against wood, the loosening of their muscles, the scent of their skin as I relax into the seat. The structures that supported my ancestors now are shaping me.
Judith Boyce is a naturopathic physician, acupuncturist, and award-winning author. She lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.